Hello and welcome to podcast 338 of Five Star Potential, your weekly football manager podcast. I'm Duke, and on this week's pod, I'm joined by Joe, aka Friday Night FM, Paul, aka Mad FM, and Dave, aka Dazzling Dave Sainsbury's Bag for Fucking Life.
I just found it as you're saying it. Fair play. If you know, you know.
Yep. Fucking wrong'uns.
If on this week's podcast. You know, mate. But I don't. I just got
to top up the shelf, mate. On this week's podcast, we've got news from South Africa, Portugal, Sweden, and Cirencester. We've got our adventure in Wonder Kid Land, or two, and we've got time to shoe in on a terrible quiz from Mad. But before we do all that, let's have your winners and losers of the week. Please, Joe, why is your winner?
Why is my winner what?
I'm just waiting for you to come in and say, my winner's this.
Desiree Doué. It's my winner of the week.
That's a loser, I think.
No, that's
loser
mad.
Week is mad. Yeah.
I've put passion, and do you know what? I was thinking of my winner of the week. Do you know what's got me going this week? Racing's back. No fucking football, motor racing. So it's all been about MotoGP, World Superbikes. Nothing to do with Football Manager. My winner of the week has cheered me right up. We're going to have racing again at weekends.
Yes. Do you know what that means? Yes, we can spend more time together.
Loser of the week.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Paul, winner of the week.
Am I giving my winner of the week or what Joe's written down for me today?
That's quite a good one. You are saying I did write something down then.
Right.
Ooh, blimey. No, your winner of the week from the script, please, Matt.
My winner of the week is I didn't know which day the transfer window slammed shut, so I'm able to record this podcast, apparently.
Is that really the winner? Because I feel that's our loser.
The fact that Dupe only said record Wednesday, because at the end of your Talking Magpies podcast, you went, we might be back on Wednesday to do a transfer window special.
Is he Welsh?
To be sure.
So I never know what let's make sure we record on Wednesday so he's busy.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. I'll back that. I'll back that 100%.
And, that makes you losers because I'm here instead of not being here.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
There are three of us in your fucking stream, mate.
Appreciate the questions and the comments. I didn't know you were there.
No, you had it on follower only.
Yeah, I'm not following that shit.
Follow. That's true. That's fair. No. The real winner of the week, Dupe, is Bayern, because in real life they've signed Jonah. 6.5 million. Eyes emoji.
Man, you was all over that transfer as well. So well done.
Yeah, so much so I had to tell you that it went through.
Yeah. I don't know what day it is. How am I supposed to know what's happening in the transfer?
There's four people in the world that know about this kid and you didn't realise he'd been transferred to Bayern.
And you're like the biggest fucking fanfare.
What can I say?
Quick question. I know we'll get on to losers shortly, Matt, but... any retaliation from Clates? Because I'm definitely team Clates here if he does try and
I haven't heard a sight of him since. He's cowering away.
Doesn't even know who Mad is, mate. So.
That's true.
All he'd do is send one of his team over, wouldn't he?
Yeah, true. He's got somebody for that kind of thing, yeah.
Super. David, who's your winner of the week? And come on, we're excited for this one. You were big last week telling us the result before the result, and it was a good prediction.
I think I played it very safe last week. So yeah,
no, I went 2-0 Wolves, and so thanks for that. Yeah, yeah, listen to pod back.
This is the latest pod we're recording since our big Black Country derby win, and I think you doubted the derby, didn't you?
Yep, and do you know what? And I'm going to put it out there.
It was dog shit.
Yeah, it was bang average, Dave.
What a terrible game of football.
The most exciting part was the fight
when they weren't on the pitch,
and your players weren't on the pitch. And then they fucking just started showing random shit on the... Show the fighting, that's what we want to watch.
I saw what it was all about. Proper derby, mate.
Dave, also, straight up, incident happened. Who gets in the old WhatsApp?
You.
Hello, right, Dave, mate.
Listen, Dupes asked if I was safe.
Are you safe?
I like that a lot. I did appreciate that a lot.
Dave, marked himself safe.
I was in Ted's room and Char went, oh, it's all kicking off, this fighting now. I went... You could have told me that. Dave could be getting his head kicked in. I want to see it.
Yeah. I want to see it.
I'll be honest. The only reason I texted Dave was I'd be easier to get to your mum. She'd be depressed, upset. I could get in there. I could be a shoulder to cry on.
Brilliant. Thank you. This podcast could date really quickly because we've got two Premier League games coming up before this actually goes out.
That's
Man U and
points.
Chelsea, so two pretty tough games. But most Wolves fans have got the smile on their face after a Black Country Derby win and ending at awful form at the Hawthorns. Mm.
Good work. My win of the week is the fact that, I've won my second Champions League in my Pentagon Challenge, Dave. We're not going to use that for my save update today because I'm now in the fact that I am unemployed. But, yeah, 2 out of 5, end bad. How many of you? Oh, we'll hear about yours later, Dave.
It's gone.
Joe, loser of the week, mate.
Desiree Douay. Big things happen, mate, when you're in our Adventures of Wonderland.
Mm. He was hoping Trello. For that transfer, wasn't he?
He's back again.
He was hoping for that transfer.
I put big team bias. He's the same as the luck modifier, is what I wrote down. I showed you an example of it the other night. You can be battering the top teams and something happens that you never see and they fucking claw it back. And you saw it the other night, didn't you? I showed you it live happening. Dodgy pass back, and then the keeper teleporting himself to the other side of the 6-yard box for a tap in.
Whilst we're talking about that and that issues, can you just run me back through my mind what I witnessed when you showed me the goalkeeper stamping on the ball to flick it up like a kick flip?
Oh yeah, we were playing Gil Vicente, I think, and the ball, it was a weird animation, wasn't it? Like it was when he was attacking, strange. One of my players took a shot, I think, it deflected off a defender. Went to the keeper, the ball was at his feet, and then it was like he stamped on the ball to flick it up and catch it.
Mm.
Very weird.
It was a very strange animation. I've never seen it before.
But don't say anything because Nick will get us to send the files over.
It's never happened before. I don't think he listens anymore because we haven't got him on yet. So Nick's crying. It's your fault, Mad. Nick, if you are listening, it is because Mad doesn't want you on.
Only one Mad doesn't like you.
Who is your winner of loser of the week?
Well, for many reasons now, I've written down me. I'm the loser of the week. But my reason for being loser of the
week. Finish it at that.
Yeah, you can just leave it at that. Everyone will just nod in agreement while they're driving their cars. Mm. I did something that I would have sworn I'd never do in FM or haven't done for a long time. And Joe is going to
save and reload?
No, not I wish. Joe's going to hang his head in shame when he hears this.
Took control of another club and bought new players?
No, none of that. It's worse. So you remember I had Oscar Hoyland on loan.
Championship manager.
Do you want the loser of the week?
Yes. I'm building tension, mate.
Could be so many options for you, though, Matt.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Just too much. It's just me. No, I had to replace Oscar Hoyland, and I brought in, you remember I mentioned Isaac Bergman Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how I've done this because I could have sworn I wouldn't have done it. I left in the parent club saying what position they want him to play. And they had no idea of this. Absolute rookie mistake. And they had him down as wanting him to play as a deep lying playmaker. I play double Mazzalas. Got to the halfway through the season. Had two arguments with the manager and they recalled him and he was playing well. Chief.
Just a small point that you write blogs for Football Manager advising people how to play the game.
Yes.
Mm. What club was he from, Mad?
Lol.
Copenhagen,
yeah.
So you've now burnt that bridge because they won't let you loan any players.
That's
again.
Two players from Copenhagen. Well, Oscar Hoyland, they just called him back out of the blue, actually. Oh, no, sorry. He came to the end of his loan contract and he didn't want to re-sign. But yeah, I've actually lost him. But I'll come maybe in the save update because I have managed to bring in a replacement since...
I would say I can't wait, Mad, but that's a lie.
Was that the brothers you tweeted about?
Yes. Yeah. Ayari.
Nice. David, loser of the week?
Probably me, because spoiler, I've still not won a Champions League. So.
Mud.
Say no more.
Okay.
Sun's crying.
Okay. Should we move on?
Please.
Okay, we'll move on really quickly. Loser of the week for me, weirdly, for a hat trick, is me. I'll get very much into depth with it with my save update, but at Cirencester Town, two divisions lower than the National League, North and South, believe I might be expecting a little bit much out of them. I'm getting frustrated of simple things, and I think it's just because they are pretty pants. And I need to kind of align myself with the level that I'm playing at. So I might just have like a little offline save playing in like the SPL and just kind of get used to playing with shit players. So yeah, I'm the loser of the week. Save updates. Dave, you touched upon it. You might as well go first, mate. Tell us all about your luck or lack of luck in the Champions League, bud.
So I've literally, just as we started the pod, finished season 27-28, as in 2027-28, not season 27-28.
It's not taking that long.
we're getting there. We're getting somewhere. Finally, officially qualified for the African Champions League. So the first time in my managerial career that I'm going to be managing in the Champions League. And it's been, look, it's been a very, very successful season. I'm a little bit underwhelmed with how it's finished, and I'll explain why in a minute. But overall, I mean, in all competitions, I played 58 games, won 49 of those 58, drew 6 and lost just 3. Frustratingly, two of the 3 were in cup competitions. But yeah, we started off the season absolutely brilliantly. In the league, it took us until the end of January before we lost a game. We were just on fire. I think on the last pod, I was talking about how really we had to sort of find out a way to beat the likes of Sundowns, who were just walking away with the league every season, Orlando Pirates, Kaiser Chiefs. And to be fair, it didn't actually change much. I think what I did in the summer was just build an extremely strong team, and we got the better of all of those, really. So it took right until the end of Jan before we'd lost the game. Smashed through our Confederations Cup group. We'd also played in the Super Cup against a team who won the African Champions League and smashed them. We'd won the sort of MTN8 final. So, you know, we'd won a lot of cup competitions. Overall, we won the league. We won the League Cup. We won the MTN8. So a lot of money coming into the club. Unfortunately, we were knocked out in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup, or what they call the Nedbank Cup, by Orlando Pirates. It was probably one of our worst performances of the season, frustratingly. We lost 3-0 in that game in the quarters. And then we moved very quickly on to the final of the Confederation Cup, and we played actually Kaiser Chiefs. And I thought, you know what? There have been close games between the two of us, but I've got the better of them quite consistently throughout the league. First leg, both games in neutral grounds. First leg, we lost 6-4. I was 2-0 up. So I threw that away, really. I was frustrated with how we'd done there. And then the second leg, I thought, well, all we've got to do here is, you know, get 2 early goals and we'll see what we can do. And we went 2-0 up before half time. I thought, yes, happy days. We've got the whole of the second half just to attack at them and see what we can do. In the end, we won the game, but it was 3-2. So we lost in the final, but there were two mad things happen in this game. So we were 3-1 up at one point, up until the last minute. So I don't know if there's an away goal rule, but at least it would have been going to, you know, at least extra time. I've just signed, and I don't know if I ever brought him up. When I managed Wenger, I needed a couple of goals right in that first season when I managed Wenger, and I brought in this like 16-year-old kid who was like 6'4" into the first team, and he scored a couple of goals for me at the end of the season. So he joined Kaiser Chiefs, and I noticed this about halfway through the season. He was coming up to the end of his contract, so I approached to sign him, and he's signing. He's joining me next season. So Kaiser Chiefs get a penalty in the last minute, basically to win themselves the Confederation Cup. And who steps up? this guy who's about to sign for me that I've managed in his first season, gave him his professional debut, and he took it away. And, you know, so it was just mad. And then we had a chance 95th minute. It was probably genuinely one of the best saves I think I've ever seen on Football Manager. So it just, all the luck was going against us. And we ended the season quite poorly with 3 straight draws in the league, which is a little bit frustrating with how strong that we'd done. But the main aim of this season was just to qualify for the Champions League. Got a ridiculously strong team. Financially, you know, we're in an unbelievable place right now. I think I've said last week as well, the first season I joined this team, they had minus 500k in the bank. At the moment, we've got over 7 million now. Transfer budget of close to 4 million. So we've got a lot of flexibility. I think, again, I'm going to have to be quite stubborn on the foreign player rule. But that was another thing. Right before the Confederation Cup, my striker, who's got 35 goals this season, gets injured. Right before the final, my best left back gets injured. My best central midfielder was already injured. So luck went against us there. But I'm hopeful. I don't know how much I'll get played between now and the next pod. Hopefully, again, another good chunk of next season. But the sole focus is on that Champions League. I'm confident that we could go far in it, but Just at times, although we've done so well in the league, there were some matches I was watching us and it was just so frustrating watching the amount of chances that we were missing, having like 40 plus shots against some teams and only scraping a 1-0 win. So yeah, work to be done in the summer, but confident that we can push for our first Champions League title next season.
I mean, you've put a hell of a slog in South Africa. Like, fair play to you. Is it? Are you not contemplating like walking away, going somewhere else and coming back later down the line? Because, yeah, I mean, it's a bit tough if you're not going to get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think I'll look this season. I think I've got to stick with SuperSport. I've built a really, really strong team. A lot of those good players were loans, and I'm just hoping that I can keep them again next season. I've got a lot of money that I can, you know, bring into the team. But, yeah, I mean, that was season 5 in the Pennington Challenge overall. And I think I've done very well in terms of my profile now, Continental A license. So my profile as a manager is really, really good. So I think if I can win this Champions League, I mean, I managed 219 games overall, 69% win percentage. So yeah, I understand people are probably thinking, fucking hell, like, why is he not just moved on? But I built such a strong team that I think it'd be daft to move on and having to start and rebuild somewhere else. So get this season out of the way and then see where we are, I think, this time next year in game. But I'm confident I can build a strong team, really. It's just, to be fair, my best striker is a Brazilian striker. A lot of Brazilian clubs are coming in for him, and he wanted to stay with us, which surprised me a little bit, to be fair. But signed my best players up to new contract, so we'll see where we are.
I just think it's one of those, isn't it? It's such a difficult thing. We spoke about it last week about how you can get quite lucky at times and fall into jobs that are in the Champions League and that, and it's just like, I just wonder whether potentially if you could find a job that they were in the quite far in the Champions League, go off to them and try and win one somewhere else, and then that might start a bit of a merry-go-round in that league, and you might see a different club come available.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, I think the plan is, I mean, I'll keep my eye open. I think I've done that all save, really, but I think the plan is, when I first did it, I think my average was 1 every 5 seasons. So roughly, I think, you know, I will get lucky later on in my career when I have a better manager, better attributes and so on. I'll just jump from job to job, and hopefully that will be the case. So I'm not far away at the moment, but I think I've come so far at the moment and built such a strong team. I think I'd be daft just to walk away from it at the minute.
Yeah. That's fair shout, fair shout. Mad, nodding away, mate, like a Churchill dog. What's your save and where'd you come from, mate?
No.
Oh, are you yes. yes, Ike, A-I-K. I actually wrote down some notes. I think last week I spoke about it.
Can't fucking read me on writing, no.
Did you write over Joe's notes?
That's quite possible. It's the day that's happening. Maybe.
Definitely possible.
No context. Last time we spoke about Ike, I'm pretty sure I said it was top of the league after about 10 or 12 games played. We ended up going about 8 points clear or fairly early on. And Jonah was absolutely flying, as was the aforementioned Isaac Johansson, scoring for fun in midfield alongside Gustavo Sadio. He's been brilliant. And even my left-sided forward, my kind of inside forward is Jeppe Ockels. He's been great as well. And he was only like 300K.
Just going to Johansson up. I was trying to remember who his dad was, and it's Joey Gajonson.
Joey Gajonson, yeah, from was he at Burnley?
Yeah. He's played for Wolves as well. Yeah, played for Wolves.
I have to say it because I know they've got you play for Wolves.
Wolves,
hello. Wolves, Wolves, Wolves,
Wolves. Was it Joey Gajonson?
Oh,
yeah,
Wolves.
It was.
Yeah. Wolves. Mm. Then Leicester.
I don't know. Was he at Burnley as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Messi's son.
Doesn't play for me anymore, as we've learned, but we'll come to that. The thing with Jonah was, so Jonah now at this point is like 17 going on 18 and had about 9-10 goals scored in 14-15 games. And all of a sudden, because we had locked him into a new contract with no release clause, which is great. However, the bid started coming in. At this point, he's valued, I think it said something like between 4 and 8 million or something in 6 million, I can't remember. Bayern made a bid. And these were like 1 to 2 million bids. Bayern, PSG, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Man United all made bids for him, as well as a ton of like lower level clubs. There's a real mixed bag of clubs bidding for him. So I was just flat out rejecting them all. But naturally, he became a bit unsettled. Then I had another player, a centre back that I had bought, which was that guy. We talked about him before. His name was Enes Kardaklia. And we had Juventus and Dortmund coming for him, but I didn't want to sell him either. So then those players got a bit unsettled and it kind of just suddenly impacted the form, because I mentioned we were kind of dominating the league. The form dipped. We ended up drawing four games in like six. And while we did that, Hammerby started just winning every single game. And basically where I am right now in the league, we've 21 games played out of 30. And Hammerby are level on points with us. So this is suddenly, you know, we're in a save where I thought, oh, we're just going to win the league every season and it'll be all about the Champions League. We've suddenly got like a title race going on, which is a bit unexpected. So yeah, 21 games, title race, level on points with Hammerby. And then kind of it comes to Champions League qualifiers, which happened kind of in the middle of our season because it's all messed up. So interestingly, and I tweeted this, we had my team, which is AIK, drawn against the Greek champions AEK. So Ike versus Ike. We managed to overcome them after the two legs. Then we got the Bulgarian champions, which were CSK Sofia. We managed to overcome them after two legs. Then the third and final qualifying round, we got Partizan, who are the Serbian champions. And we managed to just about beat them over the two legs. And I did tweet one of the goals that we scored in there. I haven't really seen this. I don't know if you lads seen it. It was quite close at the end of the game, the first leg, I think, of one of those games. And their goalkeeper came up for the corner to try and score. And we had the ball kind of got headed clear. My centre back, who is that guy I mentioned, Cardaclia, picks it up just at the edge of the box. And he runs all the way inside his own half. He's on the right wing and he smashes it in from about 45 yards into an open goal. And I just hadn't seen that in FM before, which was nice to see. So yeah, we managed to qualify for the Champions League. In and around this time is when we had the Isaac Johansson debacle. So he's gone back to Copenhagen. But then I saw another player who's available for loan. And his name, as Joe alluded to earlier, is Yasin Ayari. So Yasin Ayari, in real life, moved from Ike to Brighton for $4 million. He's in like the top five or six most expensive transfers to leave Sweden. And his brother, Taha Ayari, is in the Ike youth team and he's now in my first team. So we've managed to bring him in on a kind of 6 month loan to replace Johansson. And so yeah, I've got the two brothers and I've started them in midfield a couple of times, which is always nice to see in FM.
What and position have you promised to play him in?
I removed it. I can promise you that. I make the mistake once, I don't make it twice. And then one other player I signed, and I did tweet this player profile out actually, and he's quite a decent profile for my level. It's a player called Noah L. And props to Raz because he replied to the tweet and said, Joyeux Noël. Noël, he thinks he's French, I don't know. Burnley.
Something with North Star Neymar in it.
North Star Neymar. we signed him. He was on loan already, you see. So I had been watching this player, waiting for this player. I wanted a right-sided centre-back, basically. And he was the one I wanted. He's Swedish. And he was at Atalanta, but he was out on loan. So I basically had to wait about 6 or 8 months by the time he finished his loan. And we managed to sign him permanently for about two and a half. And he's straight into the first team. And yeah, basically where we are now is we've just got the Champions League fixtures confirmed. So we're in the Champions League stage, which is actually what it's called. Some straightforward enough fixtures. Sparta Prague are in there. I think Rangers are in there, but there's some interesting ones. We've got Newcastle at home in the Champions League, which is a bit of narrative for me. Inter Milan at home. And then we got Real Madrid away in the Bernabeu. And we had Barcelona last season. So it's going to be a little bit tough again, but we shall see. And yeah, look, overall, the Swedish project, which is kind of a big focus area of it, in terms of raising the whole profile of Swedish football, I think I kind of mentioned before, the premise of the save is to raise the quality and the level of Swedish football through the Ike's performances, mainly in the Champions League. Sweden have moved up three places in the coefficients, and we're in season three, which is kind of nice to see. And a recent notification I got was that Ike had moved up 267 places after our Champions League qualification to the knockout round last season where we lost to Brighton. So we moved up 267 places to 107th in the club rankings.
Nice.
Which is cool. And with that, we've improved like the facilities and the recruitment. So that side of it's going really well. But yeah, might get battered in the Champions League again for fun.
Crikey. It's all going on then, mate. All going on. Yeah. So what is the... I mean, you say you're trying to kind of grow Swedish football. But I mean, are we hoping that we're going to try and get some European glory, or Is it just kind of slow and steady wins the race here?
It's definitely going to be slow and steady because we probably will lose Jonah if he gets very unsettled. I need his value to come up though because he's so young, his value is still quite low even though he's banging the goals in. I don't see us winning the Champions League anytime soon. Like, one of the things I wrote in the blog originally was like, there hadn't been a Swedish club get out of the Champions League group stages since 1999 or something like that, or be in the group stage. I can't remember the exact fact. So it's kind of doing well in the Champions League. Obviously trying to get some really good Nugents coming through. Have had one to two decent enough ones. The first youth intake was really good. The second one was shocking. I'm actually really close to getting the third one through now. It comes through in September for us, which is about 2 or 3 months before the season ends. And I've just entered September. So that would be nice to see. And then the final thing I really want to achieve would be getting the Swedish job. The guy who's the current Swedish manager is Janne Andersson. I don't think they like him very much. He's quite boring, but he's still there. And there's no tournament this year, so he mightn't be going anywhere. I'm in 2025, so I might have to wait till next year.
Interesting. Mm. All right. Well, good luck with that, mate. Let me take you... Well, I mean, we've gone from South Africa to Sweden. Now we're going to head over to England, and I'll do mine. And then we'll leave Joe's super one to the end, because Joe is a good one to finish.
Rush.
Keeps the listeners listening, right? That's what they've all come for. With the undercard. I've started a new save over... I have started a new save on Twitch that I've been pretty consistent with, actually, to be fair. I think I should have been my own winner of the week there. And we've gone down to Southern League Division 1 Central, which is 8 divisions below the Premier League. So it's a hell of a way down. Semi-professional, never done semi-professional football before. We're talking about people that are on part-time contracts. You can only sign them up to a year contract. It's pretty ropey at best. The database is pretty cool. I will give Dave the link to it, and it will be in the podcast description and YouTube description. I will give a shout out to Dan FM Database because he's the one that produces it. It goes all the way down to level 13. Level 12 is mental. It's a club that I used to play for at level 12. So it just shows you how shit some of these teams are. And the database is really good. When you get out of the box, Cirencester Town, the team that we've decided to pick, which is my local team, 80% of the players are the correct players that play for that team. I did do a bit of pre-database editing by adding in a couple that were available. Yeah, it shows, doesn't it? So I believe it was like Felix Miles was still contracted at Gloucester, where however he's actually at Cirencester Town. So I did a couple of that, but not much. And so basically out of the box, it's very good. But it's fucking hard. I'll be honest, like I assumed it would be difficult. Now don't get me wrong, I assumed it would be difficult. But I thought I'd just go in, I play very simple 4-4-2 football. What's the worst that can happen? And it's just like every game is just a like incredible amount of goals. We've gone through quite a purple patch where we haven't actually lost in about 7 games. And then we went on to lose 3 in a row on tonight's stream. But some of the results, like we won 4-2, drew 2-2, drew 3-3, we drew 3-3 again, we drew 2-2. Like we just can't, we have to score 2 or 3 goals to actually win a game, which is pretty tough at this division. We've got a chap called Ben Whitehead who's spearheading our attack. He has 5 finishing. and he's top goal scorer. He has scored 16 goals in the league in 19 games, 22 overall in the case of 25 games total played. So he's doing all right for us, but he's got 5 finishing. So it kind of gives you the little level that we're at. In tonight's stream, we have swapped to a 3-at-the-back system, trying to concede less goals, trying to... emphasize our creativity up front with our creative players and our defense responsibility from our defensive players, basically. And it, on paper, it hasn't worked because we've lost 3 games out of the six that we've played. However, we have played second, third, and first in that, and we lost to all 3 of them, 3-1, 2-1, and 2-0. The 2-0 was against top, away from home, and we were doing really, really well until the 80th minute, and we decided to pass it to their striker from the goalkeeper and then just let them score. We then went a bit attacking. They scored a second. So I don't think the 2-0 was a kind of a fair result. But I'm just getting very, very frustrated because, for example, we've got the three at the back. We're asking them to do much shorter passing. I'm asking them to the keeper to distribute it to the fullbacks. And it's just going long with everything. When I don't want them to go long, they're going long. And then when you see a ball available and you can think, well, that striker's through. And then, for example, Felix Miles, who's got 14 vision for this level, for some reason can't see that pass. And then he goes backwards. And it's just like so frustrating because, look, I'm putting a lot of eggs in the basket of these kids and that. And they're not the greatest footballers in the world. That's why they play semi-professional football. And like I said, we've got centre-backs with tackling of 6. We've got wing-backs with tackling of 2. You know, we're not expecting a huge amount from them, but I expect a little bit from them. And it's very difficult and it does get very frustrating. But on a whole, we're doing okay. We are 6th currently. The top one goes up. The second to 5th are in a playoff and then they will go up. We get promoted once, or I should say if we get promoted once, we would then go up into the Premier Central Southern League, which has teams like Nuneaton Borough, Leamington Spa, Ketchum Town. And then if we get promoted from that one, we would then go in the Vanarama National North or South.
Matt would be tugging himself off over them clubs.
Yeah, he fucking would. I'll be honest with you, if you fancy a challenge, it's a challenge, but it's a frustrating challenge. But it's interesting, and I'm really enjoying it. And fingers crossed, we don't get sacked, and we can actually keep playing it. But what is one of the toughest bits I'll leave on is the fact that we don't have money, right? Not just money to buy players. I'm not fussed about that. We don't even have money for scouting, so we can't scout players. So you go and you can find all these loan players. And for example, I've got like 5 or 6 in at the moment I had 5 or 6 in who don't require any payment towards their wages, but you don't see any of their attributes. You're solely just guessing. You're solely just going on the fact that of a bit Moneyball-esque really, off the fact that you can go on some of their stats and you can see the fact that, okay, he's a striker. He scored 8 goals in 12 games. Yes, it's a lower league, but he's done well there, so let's pick him up. And then he turns up and he's got 1 finish and 1 composure. You wait the 28 days, they complain the fact that they haven't played, and then they recall him. And it's just a vicious circle, and that's the only way you can scout players that you can loan. Yes, you can trial players, but when you run out of money to actually offer them a contract, you need to go for loans, and not all the best players are available for loan.
What happens if you go and watch one of their matches at their club?
That's a really good point. And I'll be honest, I haven't tried that. However, I can only but assume that they're all on the same sort of like schedule because we all play on a Saturday and we all play on a Tuesday. But that's a good point. I'll have a look. I haven't really thought about it. But again, we are kind of stabbing in the dark with it. I'm literally just finding a random player.
What would the Siren Sister Town manager now do to go and find a player?
You'd ring Dupe.
I haven't asked him.
It'd be all recommendation, wouldn't it, probably?
Yeah, I guess it would be. Or it would probably be another manager in a higher league going, look, I need this lad to play some games. Can he come and sign for a month for you? Come and play some games. He's pretty good here. And he'll fit in quite well with you. I guess. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know. It'd be quite a good little conversation starter to have with some of these managers that are at this level, if that's something that you're interested in. But I don't know whether, after I've just taken his job fictitiously, whether he'll be my best mate. But I do go and watch them. We have some good fun watching them. Me and my old man go and watch them. And we've currently got the physiotherapist, I believe, is in from Cirencester Town in the chat, and he's gutted that he's not on the game. So, yeah, sorry, mate. But yeah, that's it, really. That's the save at the moment. I will probably touch upon the penalty. We mentioned it in the winners of the week. If you want to go check out my Twitter. It's my pinned tweet, and you can follow a very basic thread there to keep up to date with that.
Dave follows, but
I don't think he does.
Do not read that shit.
Not a chance.
If it's not but related to Zhao Polina, mate, he's not interested.
No Alaminda.
Yeah,
where are you at then, Joe? Talk us through yours, mate, come on.
Short and sweet this week, mate.
Oh, no.
Only written half a page.
Well, and they got over it.
Yeah. And then Mad threw some tippets on it. Come out and tarmac me page.
Try and stop me.
Season 8 flying through it, boys. I start with the summer window because it's actually been a small window. It was, you know, Newcastle-esque. It's bigger than Newcastle because have you actually signed anyone yet? Mm. So out left Samuel Soares, who was our goalkeeper that we picked up on at the start of the save when we were stealing players from Porto, Benfica and Sporting. He was a keeper that I got in from Benfica. Very, very good young goalkeeper. He actually left on a free transfer to go to West Ham. I've got a left back called Hefe, which is a great name for a Brazilian. He went back to Brazil to Vasco for just under 12 million. I mentioned him previously. I had a centre midfielder, Mexican Salvador Espinoza. His release clause got hit by Leipzig, 37.5 million. Honestly, mate, I reckon he's a £100 million centre mid. He's so good. Wow. Ridiculous. And then coming in, obviously I replaced the goalkeeper, got a little Portuguese. I'd say he's got good potential. Nuno Gravato, I thought it was a lovely name. Signed him from Paderborn for £4.5 million. I've got an absolute worldie of a centre forward, Colombian Sebastian Mendoza from Atletico Nacional, £3.7 million. Mate, he's as good, if not better, than Omorodion already. So when Omorodion eventually gets signed, I've got like the perfect replacement for him. He's so good. Then a little South American stockpiling, a player called Jonas Fernando from Atletico Paranaense. He's come in as a centre midfielder. Valentin Moran has come in as a right back, and Matias Rodriguez from Boca. So signed a few players there. I'll probably throw some screenshots up on Twitter, because now these new gens are coming in, I'm picking up some lovely little bargains that you're going to make 10 times the money on them. I've probably had no more than a handful of players that I've bought I haven't made money on. So yeah, it's good fun in Portugal, just kind of buying potential that you know is going to get sold. But that being said, season 8, still with the 4-3-3. I haven't gone back to the 4-4-2, but the 4-3-3 seems to make us more defensively sound. So that's working quite well. Started the season winning the Charity Shield. So I've got a bit of silverware in the trophy cabinet, just gearing us up for the season. Obviously qualified for the Champions League, bearing in mind last year I finished second on 84 points to Sean Dyche's Benfica. So in the Charity Shield, won that. Champions League, I had PSV, Inter, Dortmund, Copenhagen, Ajax, Real Madrid, Celtic and Aris. Right, some teams there, aren't there? Draw. Win, draw, win. So qualified for the knockouts.
Wow.
Done really, really well. The draws, like as we spoke about last week, the Champions League's brilliant for generating money. Like if you win four games in the Champions League group stage, and like that's 10 million quid, like it's massive. Plus all the television money, plus all the prize money for it. Like it just is ridiculous for Portugal. So when you get in the draws and you're getting like 900 grand, you kind of think, it might as well be a loss and get fuck all. But that being said, I had a good run, but actually lost to Dortmund on penalties. So I think I won the first leg 1-0 and then lost the second leg 2-1, but went out on penalties. And it was like pure FM'd as well. Because you know when you get your penalty takers come up, I always, if it says looks nervous or anything like that, I don't put them on pens. Went through the penalties. Who's the next person that I didn't choose? The player that had fucking nervous and he fucking missed. So it's, I always say like FM gives you so many gives you so many hints. Like I should have just picked 10 players in front of him and left him to the last penalty taker and it probably would have been all right. But because I didn't, just wasn't to be. So knocked out again in like the first knockout stage, which for a club of our size is perfectly fine. Plenty of money, like prize money's through the roof, so yeah, it's all good. I lost four games in the season, two to Porto, one to Benfica, and one to Gil Vicente, which is a weird one to lose. Now, Porto is weird because they finished second but they weren't as dominant in the league. And I think it's because they sold Galeno to PSG, and honestly, he ripped the league apart. Like the seven previous seasons, he's the best player in the league by miles. And then I was looking, they sold like £150 million worth of players and bought in 115, but none of the players they really bought in looked any good. So they weren't that great. But again, I couldn't touch them, mate. Sporting, we've got the better of them now. And Benfica, it always seems to be, they get the rub of the green. But yeah, two losses to Porto, and I was like, give him any ump there. Best player in the team probably for the season was Angelo, who's the winger that is at Chelsea at the moment, the young Brazilian. Mm-hmm. He might be out on loan IRL, but I bought him in a couple of seasons ago. He got 20 goals and 23 assists in 38 games. Right, as playing as a right-sided inside forward on support. And doesn't enjoy big matches. Yet still fucking performs for me. So he was really, really good. I missed a really important thing out, that we won the league.
What?
So that's the first league win there. I deliberately left that. Porto finished second, we finished first. I finished first on 84 points, which is what I finished on last year when Benfica smashed us. So I've been consistent, but the consistency paid off because we finished first, Porto finished second. They've actually got Conceição back as manager, which I thought was weird. Benfica finished fifth, and they sacked Daesh after he beat us in the FA Cup final. And I mean, they absolutely dicked me in the FA Cup final. Like, the game was trying to screw me for winning the league because Porto were just like, they weren't losing, they beat me. And I think I drew a couple of games. Like, I had quite a good lead, and then it got back to like, I think I had about a 3-point lead. I'm going to cock this up. Managed to get it done on the last game. And then, yeah, played Benfica in the cup final. I think they beat me 3-1. But it was comprehensive. But then they sacked Daesh. You know, won the league the year before, sacked the next year. And Sporting, who finished third, have actually kept the same manager. Since Amorim has gone, they've got a guy called Jorge Maciel, I think his name is. They haven't re-signed anyone, haven't re-sold anyone, bar the big players they have at the start. Like, they're just super consistent. Omerodium was my top scorer, 27 goals in the league, which is a great return. I think he scored 32 in total. He's kicking off about a new contract, so I'm not backing down because I reckon he's had a new contract every year, and now I've got this Mendoza guy. Like, I want Mendoza in the team, so that's going to go there. And yeah, that's about it, really. New stadium, new kits that I put on Twitter tonight, which look lovely.
Yeah, saw them. Look great.
And new league winners for Portugal.
I can't believe you just like, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to mention this.
that one thing I've been trying to do for 8 seasons, we did it.
Mate, I was giving it a fist pump. So I was like, fucking come on. Because you scroll through, mate, there ain't no Famalicão winning there. That's a tiny little club. And it's taken 8 seasons. I'm still struggling against Porto and Benfica, I would say. And nowhere near them in terms of what we can spend, anything like that. So it was just consistency. Like, as I say, 84 points last year, 84 points this year. Done the same same thing. We'll see how we get on season 9.
You had already finished second once or twice, Joe, right?
I have, yeah, yeah. Fourth is my lowest position that I finished with them. But I hadn't managed to... I've been top of the league for long periods of time, and then it's just all fallen away. But now I feel like I've got quite a strong squad. Like, I've got a good core, and they don't seem to be like they always come up. Like, pretty much 75% of the squad will come up with wanted sign next to it, but a lot of them now aren't getting bids, so it's quite nice. And like, even when the Saudi clubs want players, they're like, we don't want to leave.
Nice. And the prize money for the champions like much more than second or third?
In the league, it's not a lot. I think it's something like, I think it's 8 to 10 million, for TV money. One thing I always do, and I don't think I've spoken about this on the pod, like, I do this nearly every year where it's possible, like, not just for Milikow, like, all my saves, if there's the finances are there, I always put high bonuses. for league, continental and cups. I don't know how many people change that, but I always put them as high, and you always get the little icon next to them going players reacted well to competition prize money or something like that. And I'm like, I don't know if that makes a difference as well. Like, I know it's all the little bits, but I always go high. Like, if the money's there, I just think that's the added incentive. I'd rather spend money incentivizing players than having a little bit more in my bank balance.
Yeah. Agree.
No, I like that. I think that's good. Really good. Well, it's just, yeah, fair play. I like it. I do like this, your save update. And I'll be honest, I've had a few people in my chat ask about how it's getting on, Joe. And I've had to keep shump that you've won the league because I obviously knew that spoilers. Mm. And I think I did very well that I didn't let that out of the bag.
It was a fucking good run, mate. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's really good. We've got time for Adventures in Wonderkid Land. And as Mad changed it, verylastminute.com. Mad, I'm going to get you to read it in your lovely dulcet tones, mate.
Something happened on Trello, and I think I typed over Joe's, but we don't know how that happened.
No, apparently.
You know, like when the pikies turn up and they do your roof and then they come in, so you've got to pay for it? Like, even though you didn't authorize it, that's what Mad's pretty much done.
You're about to pay for it because you're going to hear me reading three paragraphs in my accent.
It's better than me reading it, mate.
This week's Adventures in Wonderkid Land takes us to Germany, where an 18-year-old Serbian striker who was top scorer at the 2022 UEFA European Under-17 Championships has just returned from injury at Stuttgart and looks set to have a huge future ahead of him. At just 17, Jovan Milosevic scored 3 goals in 5 games during the Serbian Superliga Championship round for Vojvodina at the end of last season. And it wasn't long before Stuttgart arrived with a 1.2 million transfer fee. He started this season with a host of substitute appearances before picking up that injury, but looks set for plenty of minutes this season now that he's returned for high-flying Stuttgart, who are currently third in the Bundesliga at the time of writing. Standing 6'4" and showing excellent athleticism, aerial ability, movement, and an instinctive eye for goal, let's take a look at his FM24 profile and see if we have another wonder kid on our hands, lads.
See, it's not that easy, is it, Mad?
He's been practicing on talking magpies, mate.
He has, yes, to be fair. Practicing
talking shite. So Jovan Milosevic, what are we saying?
I don't know. He's French. I know that. Plays for Juventus at the moment, right?
He's still on Desert.
It's not that one. It's the other one.
That was a fake laugh.
Too soon.
he's a great striker. He really is. And he's going to be awesome, Mad. He's going to be very good. He's big. He's strong. He can jump. He can head. He can finish. Bit slow, but that's because of he's tall.
Right. Mm.
But 6'4", mate, he's going to be a beastly striker.
Is he a meaty striker? Is it one of those?
Those fucking eyebrows are meaty.
Rangy.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what? When you posted that, I don't know if you posted it because you'd seen this, but on January the 2nd, myself, Dan Gear, and Oliver Jensen on Twitter were talking about this guy in FM.
Oh, really? I hadn't seen it. No. I was definitely drunk.
Of course you wouldn't, because you don't read anything that I write.
Yeah. Notifications are on, Joe, I'll have you know. Since the
third. Yes, we spoke about him in FM because Oliver Jensen had been looking at him and Dan Gear had scouted him. I'd scouted him as well.
Interesting. It did confuse me a bit because we had another player on a few weeks ago and I think it was Jovan Mijatovic. I'm pretty sure it's the same first name.
I thought we'd talked about this guy before. Yeah. Confused the life out of me. Yeah.
He's no Savo Milosevic though, is he?
No, yeah. I don't think he's his son as much as we wish he was. But like, yeah, he's only 17 and the physicals are nuts, but like finishing 12, technique is 10, but like double figures for all the important stuff. And then, yeah, jumping reach 16 with heading of 13, set pieces.
People use like a target man anymore in game.
I've been doing it this year.
It's a dying thing anyway.
I did at the start of Minicao when I had John de Cadiz. He's a really good target man.
I flipped Jonah around between target man and advanced forward when his physicals were a little bit lower because he was 16 when we started playing him. I was just
time for another Jonah update.
Bingo.
You got anyone else in that fucking squad?
No, it saves over when he leaves.
No, they keep having to leave.
Saves over when he leaves.
He's a good kind of what you'd like Eastern European type striker, isn't he? He's just got that ruggedness about him. And am I right? Is Serbia joining the EU shortly? Ooh. I'm sure that comes up in game, doesn't it? Serbia.
I think it comes up in game, yeah.
Bosnia. Albania, is it come up? So like in your FM saves, he'd be someone that would become an EU national.
Hopefully. Yeah, good point. Really good point.
It looks like he's going to get an upgrade as well, I think, in Jan.
How do you know that, Dave?
Spoilers.
Some things like...
he's heard determination, the grapevine.
Determination and so on the profile that we've got here is 9, but it's going to have a big boost for January onwards. Well, winter update onwards.
Awesome.
Dave's getting sacked.
There's another one to keep an eye out for then. Awesome work, Mr. Mad. I'm going to pass it back over to you, Mad. Apparently, have we got time for the quiz?
Yeah.
We can squeeze time in, can't we, lads?
Yeah.
It's going to slow fucking time down.
Yeah.
Go on then, Mad. After you.
Where is the chase and how do we cut to it?
Cut. This week's quiz is inspired by... I went back to work a few weeks ago and I've been going for lunch with a couple of the lads and we've been getting lost in the depths of like Premier League stats on the website. There's some really good stats actually. So I've pulled a list for you lads for a quiz. This season,
fucking leaving, mate.
One of the things I've been hearing a lot of this season, and Joe, you'll be aware of this, is that James Ward-Prowse is only one goal behind David Beckham in the free kick taking stats for Premier League history. So I want to know who makes up the rest of this top 10. And interestingly, there are actually 10 players because some of them are level. So there's basically 10 more players within that kind of top 10 of free kick takers in Premier League history. We'll go around and we're going to start with Dave.
Man, I haven't got a clue.
I did
just say David Bentley.
I go Kevin De Bruyne.
Incorrect. Joe.
Yaya Toure.
Shout.
Yaya Toure is not on the list. Dupe.
Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney is not on my list.
Joe.
He's got two against Arsenal in one game.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Hold on a minute. I thought we were going in order, yeah?
Who gives a fuck? You don't know any.
Why don't we work together? Because no one knows any.
Go on, let Joe have Ronaldo.
We'll shout the names.
That's what I was going to say.
So Ronaldo is on the list. He is joint third on 12.
That's Dave's point.
No. I wasn't going to say. I'll just show. Leighton Baines.
Oh, that's a Baines good one, David.
Is actually not on my list.
What?
Yeah.
Boo.
That's mad.
Oh, that's mad.
Yeah, it is.
Hello. Dana. Hello.
Dupe.
I don't think he scored enough, but Trent?
Negative. Not on the list.
Me?
Yes, Joe. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah. Gianfranco Zola.
Gianfranco Zola is also joint third alongside Ronaldo on 12.
Gets you saying, mate, what a baller that kid was.
Yes.
Loved him.
Dave.
I've got two.
Gerrard?
Yeah, I've got a couple as well.
Steven Gerrard is not on the list. Dupe.
I've won one now.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Get in the word nonce. Allegedly.
Is not on the list.
Nonce on the list.
Joseph.
Dave, do you want me to do one for you?
No, you go.
Okay. I'll do one for Matt. Morgan Gamst-Pedersen.
Oh, good shout.
Morgan Gamst-Pedersen is on the list. Morton, sorry. 10 free kicks makes the list in joint. Fifth place. Dave.
Frank Lampard.
Lampard, just behind him on 9, is in the list. Dave's on the board. Dupe.
Seb Larsson.
Sebastian Larsson is
in
joint. You see Dupe's screen on his
joint forwards.
Door behind him.
Yeah, move the chair there.
You can see your screen behind you.
Oh, there you go. It's football manager, ooh, mate. That's football manager, that's you lot there. Fucking hell, honestly.
Sebastian Larsson.
Let me share my screen.
How much 11, is Larsson, that, sorry?
11 free kicks, he's joint fourth place. We're going to Joe next.
Ian Hart.
The big man,
Ian Hart, 10 goals, puts him on joint fifth. He's on the list, gets Joe a point.
I don't know if he took many. I just can just picture him taking free kicks. I don't know why. Drogba
is.
I remember
not
the one
on
against
the
Arsenal.
Mm. I don't know. I couldn't remember.
You've got four to go, boys.
If I said Juan Mata.
Juan Mata is not on my list, I'm afraid. Joe.
Four to go, he says. Is this not including Beckham and Ward-Prowse?
Exactly, yes.
I don't.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'll open it to the floor.
Lauren Robert.
Ooh.
Robert. It's Marco.
He said, I'll open it to the floor. He literally said, I'll open it to the floor.
I think we carry on going.
And then Joe
names.
Had a guess. His name is Laura Bear. Is correct. He also has 11 joint in fourth place with Seb Larsson. Gets you a point, Joe. Now it's open to the floor.
I'm going. Oh, Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry, chief. Is in joint third place with Zola and Ronaldo on 12. Awesome. Gets you a point. Nope.
Christian Eriksen
is not on the list. So you lads have two to go.
Jamie Redknapp
is a hell of a shout. On 9, puts him joint. Wow. Fifth on that list, I think, right at the bottom, alongside Lampard.
I think if they've played in the Premier League a long time, they've got to be old.
Yep.
Is the way I'm looking at it. It must be an old record.
Great shout, Joe. Gets you a point. And we have one player left on the list.
Would we get it? Is it quite niche?
If you look at your phone, Dave, you will.
I would say... yes, it's
oh, mate, I wouldn't get that. I don't think Duke would get that either.
Listen, text me. Is it my go? Can I go for Robin Van Persie?
Robin Van Persie is incorrect.
I mean, I know it.
It's Joe's text. As Joe texted him.
Yeah, Joe knows it, yeah.
He's a West Ham legend, mate.
And Newcastle.
That's the only reason he does these quizzes, mate. That's why I got Lauren Robert. I was thinking, right, who have Newcastle had free kick takers?
Ian Hart also sold me on it for obvious reasons.
This point is void, Matt, but it's Norberto Solano.
Norberto Solano is correct. Half a point each, lads. Yeah, Norberto Solano had Matt 9 as well, like, alongside Lampard and Redknapp.
Trips must be close as well, right?
But can you think of like many free kick specialists?
I was going to say Tony. I didn't know if Tony snuck on the list right at the bottom. Like, he must have 3 or 4.
Because of his little one the other day.
Yeah.
Cheat.
I would have said my next few
Baines
guesses
is interesting,
would have.
Yeah.
Baines is a great shout. I'm shocked he didn't score more. Mm. Ashley Young was another one I thought because he'd played many
to
games.
Be fair, mate, he took a lot of free kicks, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's why I thought Yaya Toure.
Yaya Toure is a good shout.
Mm. Even Shearer. Didn't he whack a few?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to be on the list.
I'm shocked Rooney's not higher up. Because he took I can remember him scoring 2 in one fucking game against Arsenal. Oh, they were laid off, though.
Not on the list I've obtained here on the internet. So there we are. The winner of tonight's
quiz,
though.
But you think back.
It's Joe.
He's just...
Ruben Neves, for example, Dave?
Mate, he didn't score.
Payet scored a fucking load for you, didn't he?
Payet scored a couple, yeah.
Tevez scored that banger. I can just try and think of fucking free kick takers.
But you remember like one free kick though, didn't you?
Yeah, you're thinking of like
but I remember
free kick scorers versus scorers.
Tevez, mate. Tevez's free kick against Spurs at Upton Park. Oh, yeah. What a free kick.
The Dimitri Payet one that I remember was fucking insane.
The Palace one.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, sick.
Literally, just top bin, innit? Mm.
Top bin, but far side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sick free kick.
And then
and Ward-Prowse hasn't scored one for West Ham.
Yes,
I'm shocked. Like somebody like
that's the weird thing.
Is it? I'm shocked. Like someone like Ryan Giggs wasn't on the list.
Beckham took them all.
Yeah.
Even
true.
Even Dennis Irwin probably took a few before Beckham as well, right? You know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
he was on penalties when he definitely.
Yeah, he definitely was on penalties. Yeah.
Geeks, was smashing other stuff.
Golden days, yeah, definitely.
On that note, that brings episode 338 to a close. You can find the links for each of us in the podcast description or by visiting 5starpotential.com. 5-Star Potential is available on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and most of our popular podcast apps and platforms, with a new podcast released every single week. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us next week. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Championi, championi.
Can't wait to win my third.